Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, most auspicious, gracious, holy Lord, we ask that you bless us, Lord God, with your presence today as we teach the power of Ephesians, Lord God, the power of this book where you're bringing together two into one. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us operate and let us preach and let us teach on this wise. Lord, as I decrease, increase in me to teach your people your word. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are in Ephesians. We stopped at verse 10. And I need to go back there because I really need to nail it down so that we would all be where we need to be. Is he in trouble? So we can all be where we need to be and where we need to be in him. So that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, times, plural, he might gather together in all, in one, all things in Christ. No, go to die. Come here. I can't. Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. Starting over. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. So let's take the last part of this. What is in heaven that belongs to God, to Christ? And what is in earth that belongs to Christ? And now notice he's not talking about leaving the earth or leaving heaven. He's talking about that he may gather together in one. See? So we're going to stay right where we are. Those things that are in heaven are going to stay in heaven. Those things that are in the earth are going to stay in earth. But he's going to gather together. He's going to create a new thing and create it to work in one. And that oneness is in Christ Jesus. And so the things that are in heaven is Christ's authority. He is the Christ. But the things that are on the earth was the man named Jesus that walked as a man, suffered as a man, was hung on the cross. And all those that get into him are going to be under this dispensation in the fullness of time. When time gets full and it's all getting to the place where things are coming together, but and the times is plural, it's not just singular, in the fullness of times, he might gather together. So when time is basically almost come winding down, he is gathering together to himself, to Christ, this one new creation, both which is in heaven, which is on the earth. And so in this dispensation of grace, we are being gathered together as one man, Greek, Jew, black, white, paisley print. We're being gathered together in one to be able to serve the one and true living God. And this is his promise that he will create a new man in us. There is a spirit man in you that cannot be corrupted. And for those who accept Christ, their soul also is going to go to the things of God. And they are going to live in eternal. He's gathering two in one. It says in 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God is working all things. He's the one that is working all things after the counsel of his own will. It is his will. It is his desire to bring about a people that would love him because they choose to love him, not because he made them to love him. I don't think I need to go back, but maybe I do. The grass is made to shoot straight up towards the sky. The trees are made to wave. They are alive. They have life in them. They have life, but they are created for a purpose. They are created for a certain purpose. And even though those purposes are multiple in the context in which they were created. They were created for a direct purpose. When God needs the trees to praise him, he sends a wind that moves them in their hands. Their leaves just wave and glorify God all at once. When he needs humility from a tree, he will send a wind and make it bend down on its side and humble himself before him like palm trees. Have you ever seen a palm tree in a hurricane? It doesn't root up, but it will bend level to the ground. And then when the hurricane is over, it will come back. So God uses every opportunity to give glory unto himself according to his own will. He uses every opportunity to praise himself with all his creation. But man is the one that he gave the choice to praise him. The choice to worship him or not. Even the angels in heaven said, "Who art man that thou art so mindful of him?" He gave us a free will. And a lot of time when we're discussing man and God and the things of God, we forget to include the free will of choice that man has. And so we have obtained an inheritance that is from heaven, even though we're here on earth. Again, you're seeing both which is in heaven and which is in earth come up under the oneness of Christ. And so we have gathered, we have obtained to ourselves an inheritance. And this inheritance was predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So if there's a predestination for those who were born, who bow their knee to God, who humble themselves to God, who are the children of God, who go out of their way to become the sons and daughters of God, if there's a predestination for them, then there is also a predestination for those who don't do it. See, and we love to talk about the one side of it, but the Bible speaks just as much by the things it does not say. What about the ones who don't bow their knee to God? Were they not born with a predestinated direction? Yes, they were. They were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And the wages of that is death. Eternal damnation and death from God. And if that is not a predestination, something that's set up here on earth before you were born, then I don't know what it is. They were predestined. But the predestination of those who are in Christ Jesus, who have become one in him, is according, and the word I love to use, according, which is in harmony to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God works all things after his own counsel, after his own will. Everything comes together. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but everything comes together after his counsel, after his will. It is all created to the purpose. You actually think God was deceived or got duped by the devil when he manipulated Eve to eat of the fruit? Then you don't even understand God. All things. He backed up he went all the way to the end of time and backed up all the way to the beginning to make sure everything would work according to his will, according to his purpose. See? There's nothing that surprises God. Nothing. 12. That we should, and so he did all this according to, after the counsel of his own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So that we would praise him for his glory. See? Because he first trusted in Christ and sent Christ to die for us, that we would have access to the beloved, access to the heavenly things, access. He opened the door that we would have access to be in Christ and have that same access, both in heaven while we're here on earth. So you don't have to wait to get to heaven to access heaven. You can access heaven through prayer and praise right now. You don't have to wait. People, everybody's waiting to get to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. In order for you to actually go to heaven, you have to die. But why wait? Because if you won't praise him on this side, then why would you even he even let you in so that you could sit there and do nothing on the other side? This is your place of practice. Practice what it is to praise him. Practice what it is to glorify him. Practice what it is to worship him. Practice these things now while you still have breath in your body. Because that is the purpose we were created. We were created that we will be given a choice to praise him for his glory. He first trusted, who he first trusted was in Christ. And it says, in whom he also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So listen, he trusted in Christ, and in whom he also trusted that after you have heard the word of truth. See, not just heard it, but and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed in what? Believed in the word of truth, believed in the gospel of your salvation. Once you believed, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Not before. See, people need to quit teaching those things. Now, you can receive the Holy Ghost of promise 1 minute after you have the word of truth, after you have believed in the word of truth and have believed in the salvation from the gospels. But you cannot receive them at the same time. You can receive them after. Now, how many people do you know who have received the word of truth, who have received the gospel of the peace that was preached, the gospel for their salvation, and are still walking in God? There's a lot of them who didn't. So did they really receive it correctly? They did all the steps. They went through all the religion, but they didn't believe it. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent you the Spirit of God? But yet these people are all of a sudden filled with the Holy Spirit, and they just become one walking, talking, tongue-talking devils. They just do all type of dirt and debauchery. They never get to the place where they have humbled themselves to allow the Spirit of God to fully work through them, because they don't believe the truth. Not just the word. Look at what it says. After ye heard the word of truth. After you've heard the truth of the word. Not the word as it's taught by men. After you've heard the truth of the word, and then the gospel of your salvation, and you believe on that, then you will be sealed with the Holy Ghost. I can't go no deeper into that. I can't get no deeper into that. Because I can just follow what the word says. I can't hypothesize and say who's doing what and how they're doing it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Because then I will be amiss trying to add to what the scripture says. And a lot of people do that. And you need to stop. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So this is the earnest of our inheritance. This is what we earnestly follow. This is the part of it, of our inheritance in Christ. So you mean to tell me salvation is not just given to me because I'm so good? No, it's not. If you step into the light with the Lord Jesus Christ, then I guarantee you, you will receive the inheritance. This is the inheritance that was created for you from the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
See, a lot of people receive the name Jesus. They receive the name Jesus the Christ, and they accept him, but they do not believe in him. They do not follow him. They do not become his disciples. They don't even know the word. But they know the Holy Spirit, according to what they say. something that they could always say that you cannot check or verify. Isn't that amazing? Unless you know the word of God. Because the world does not verify the spirit. But it goes on in 14 to say, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Purchased possession. So God has redeemed this purchased possession. Why am I pointing that out? Because you were bought with a price. If you understood and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then His blood was shed on Calvary for you. There was a price paid for you. He purchased you. And so you don't get to do it the way you want to. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. But people don't continue in his word. They don't study the word. They don't learn the word. He says, and the truth shall make you free. Why the truth? Because they have received the word, the truth of the word. They have received the word of truth. They understand truth based upon the word, not based upon the spirit. They understand truth based upon the word, not based upon what they think they know. They understand truth based upon the word, not what they feel. They understand truth based upon believing the word of God. We don't have a lot of word people anymore in the church. I'll leave that question mark right there for you to deal with. It says, the redemption of purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So none of this is done for you. All of this is done to the praise of his glory. Your salvation is not for you to praise and gloat and run around talking about, oh, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled, and blah, 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 as though you got some special possession. You didn't pay for that. Christ's blood paid for that. And it is to the praise of his glory. It is not for you. Amen. 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. This is Paul talking. He says, wherefore also, that's the point. But that wherefore also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints. Look at that. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul used that as a guideline. After I heard how much you love God, how much your faith was towards God, and how you loved your neighbor, he says, cease not to give thanks for you. In other words, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. When I heard this, that you had the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and that you loved your neighbor, you shed love abroad, I have not ceased to stop praying for you. I always make mention of you because those are the two admirable qualities. Those things go from the beginning, and they're in the law of Moses. They're in the law of grace. They're in the law of the prophets. They're in all the laws. They are in all dispensations. To love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Paul says, I never stop making mention of you in my prayers. In 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, that God would give you the spirit of what? Wisdom. So, along with the Holy Ghost, being sealed with the Holy Ghost, he gives you the spirit of wisdom. He gives you the spirit of wisdom. In other words, he teaches you that to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. He teaches you to look through things. I don't understand for the life of me. I can't go there. I cannot open that up. Forgive me, I got to back up off of that because I was going to go a little sidebar, and I don't need to go there because we would not get to the place I'm trying to get to. So I just don't understand for the life of me how people don't get into wisdom and revelation knowledge. And they allow other people of this world to tell them things and they believe it. I don't understand that. When you have the spirit that leads you to all truth, all spiritual truth is led, you are led to by the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're sealed with him, then you have that. Right? But and then Christ also is giving you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation knowledge. Why do you keep going to other people to get something revealed? Why aren't you talking to God and getting into your word that he can speak to you through his word and reveal things to you? But see, that's a word tie. If you don't know the word of God, and if you're not studying the word of God, and you're not putting yourself in position to hear the word of God, then you don't get the tie with the word. And God cannot speak to you. Now he's got to send somebody else to talk to you. He won't speak to you direct because you don't have no wisdom to decipher. Nor will you yield yourself to revelation knowledge. You got to go always call somebody else to get it. See? But the more you get into this word, and we've all been there, because that is the beginning of how we walk. But the more you get into this word, and the more you get to understand Christ, and you start to understand different dispensations and where he is, then he will speak to you directly, because now you walk in the light, which I've told you before, is walking in fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean you're washed so clean that you'll never sin. It does mean that you're so sold out for God that you will not allow anything to come in and break fellowship. And if it does, you immediately repent and go on in God. And if it's something so hard that you can't repent, then you ask him to reveal to you revelation knowledge and give you wisdom of how to walk out of it. That is no longer an issue for you. That's why people are stuck, because they do not know the spirit of wisdom, nor do they know the spirit of revelation. They don't know revelation knowledge. How many people look into the Bible and see the prophecies of God? How many people actually know the prophecies and know how they are supposed to unfold? You may not know the time or when it's going to happen, but how many can look at this world now and see things unfolding right before your face that was prophesied over 4,000 years ago in the Bible?
Amen.
Why can't they? No revelation knowledge. This is not something you can study and get. This is something that must be revealed to you. It must be revealed. So going on in 18, it says, basically that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So this is what, you got to understand, this is what Paul is praying. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, once he understands that you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all saints, basically you love your neighbor as you love yourself, then he's praying for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Notice it didn't say that you may know what is your calling, that you may know what is his calling. Because when you know what his calling is, then you know that's where you line up at. A lot of people know Jesus died on Calvary's cross, but they don't know the calling of the Lord. They don't know him as a teacher. They don't know him as a redeemer. See, they don't know him as a brother, one that sticks closer than any brother. They don't know him as a friend. They don't know him as a confidant. They don't know him as an advocate. See, they don't know him as the Rose of Sharon. They don't know him as the Lily of the Valley. They don't know him as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. They don't know him like that. They don't know him. See, he has been called to so many different areas about this gospel. They don't know him as the gospel of peace. He is the peace. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world knows peace. In Ephesians here, we're going to find out in 4, he says, I am your peace. I've broken down every partition between God and man. So Jesus verily is the one that is sitting there waiting for you to bring him into your life so that he can stand up at the top of the boat and say, peace, be still, and there will be a great calm. We don't know him like that. We do not know him like that. In 19, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. We don't get the understanding of that. And I cannot go into that without going into everything else. But, well, I can. But we're going to have to come back next week and visit this, so that I can roll into the second chapter. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And then he tells us in 20, says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's all right, I got it. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is the power from heaven that he has given us here on earth. So let me break it down for you. Going back to 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Listen, that heavenly place, he put this in Christ when he raised him from the dead. A lot of people don't even understand that when Christ got raised from the dead, then God put this in him so that he would have total control over everything that he has from the place of heaven here on earth. He says he put this in him when he raised him from the dead, and then he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places where? Far above, 21, all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. So that means he has power not only in this world, but he also has total power in that world which is to come. He is now our future. He's always been our life, but now he is our life and our future. And all of this is happening in heavenly places. He has put all things in 22. He has put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is his body. The church don't belong to the pastor. The church is his body. The church don't belong to the deacons. The church is his body. His body died. He shed precious blood for that. That's the church. We need to start lining up with Christ. For Christ is the body. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And I ask that you bless this, Lord God, that those that would hear it would get the understanding, Lord God, as we pick up next week in chapter 1, verse 19, so we can go through this in more detail, Lord God, and then putting a capsulation on it into. Father, I ask that you bless us and you keep us, that everyone under the sound of my voice would hear this and want to know more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. From the bottom of the pit where the evil ones dwell, till they fail, with some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together, and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls, I want to reach. So, learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
Cause